This is 89.1 WEMU, and today we're going to talk about the Huron River. We're going to talk about forever chemicals and the future of the river's environment. The Trump administration has put a halt to the rollout of Biden administration plans to set discharge limits on PFAS chemicals into water sources. I'm David Fair, and you are listening to Issues of the Environment. The Huron River has PFAS contamination and remains under a do-not-eat fish advisory and has been under that advisory since 2018. There's not only a rollback with potential to impact the health of the Huron River and well-being of our environment, but our guest today has been examining what else is happening at the federal level and its potential local impacts. Fair to say, she doesn't like what she sees. Rebecca Esselman is Executive Director of the Huron River Watershed Council, and it's nice to talk with you again, Rebecca.
Nice to talk with you as well, Dave.
When Donald Trump won the presidency back in November, he promised the first 100 days in office would bring significant change. Did you anticipate it would be as significant as it's been this far?
No, it's the reality of what we've seen in the last month here has been beyond what I could have anticipated, consistent with what we were expecting, but when you feel it when you know it. And I think there's been a lot of feeling it that's been happening as actions have been taken by this administration over the last month.
I mentioned the halt to the Biden plan rollout to set discharge limits into waterways at the top because it has been a significant issue in the Huron River for the past 7 years. What do you look at when trying to determine what potentially the short and longer term impacts of the Trump administration decisions are?
So these forever chemicals, these PFAS chemicals, have been, you know, making their way into our environment, our soil and our water for decades. And there's knowledge now that industry knew about the harms that these contaminants could cause for decades, but it's only come to the public's attention more recently. And since it has, and with growing research and mounting knowledge, there's been a real push for advocacy, and we've been making progress. It's always slower than it should be, but we have been making progress on, identifying the scope of the PFAS problem and implementing solutions. And at first, that was taking place at the state level, and Michigan has been actually on the front of the learning and action curve on this issue, which is great. But it has been nice to see federal action in more recent years, and particularly under the Biden administration. And so, you know, we were kind of feeling a collective sigh of relief that finally it was making it to the national discourse and there was some action being taken on our drinking water and our discharge levels of PFAS. To see that rolled back is just, it feels like a major setback in an already relatively sad story.
Our Issues of the Environment conversation with Huron River Watershed Council Executive Director Rebecca Esselman continues on 89.1 WEMU. You mentioned that as awareness grows, so has progress. What is the progress in the Huron River when it comes to PFAS and PFOS?
In a location, a specific spot on the map, the progress that can be made are things like awareness of the issue, the do not eat fish advisories, making sure that the public is aware of them and not consuming the fish. It's also things like upgrades to drinking water treatment plants. So as you may know, the Huron River is source water for Ann Arbor's drinking water.
Right.
And at that treatment plant, they've had to make some significant investments in technology to ensure that the water is being distributed to the public without PFAS. So, you know, when we had the contamination event in 2018, our spot on the map started doing what we could locally, including upgrading that drinking water treatment plant, doing additional monitoring, testing, and, you know, cleaning of the drinking water source. Beyond that, most of the actions need to take place at the state and federal level. So that's when groups like the Huron River Watershed Council really started advocating at those levels, because there's only so much we can do on this issue locally.
Well, as we've noted, changes from Washington are coming fast and furious. Somewhere between 20 and 30% of the overall budget for the Watershed Council comes from federal sources. Are you looking at potential and possibly significant cuts?
Time will tell on that one, Dave. I'm cautiously optimistic that our current funding sources will remain in place. There's quite a bit of, in response to executive orders that are freezing federal funding to agencies and groups like ours in the nonprofit sector, there have been lawsuits challenging the constitutionality of those actions and the legality of those actions. So I think for now, I'm feeling okay about our particular nonprofit's funding sources. I do mourn the loss of future funding. So also under the Biden administration, we saw very meaningful investments made that acknowledged the state of our nation's infrastructure issues. And we had things like the bipartisan infrastructure law that was infusing significant amount of money into our aging water infrastructure that has caused multiple public health and ecosystem issues throughout our country. I don't think we'll see that money remain. And so there's this loss of future potential work that feels very real.
There are also demands for the elimination of diversity, equity, and inclusion practices in hiring and organization operations. DEI is a big part of the lens in which the work of the Huron River Watershed Council is carried out. How are you navigating those waters?
Our values, our core values at the Huron River Watershed Council will remain rooted in equity, inclusion, and access. You know, water is something that we all need, and the equity lens is critical. It always has been. So I don't see us moving off that mark. And in fact, it may be more on the shoulders of local organizations to take on that work to make sure that we're continuing to make progress and not backsliding.
I'm so glad you brought that up. This is 89.1 WEMU, and our Issues of the Environment guest today is Rebecca Esselman. She is Executive Director of the Huron River Watershed Council. There are any number of nonprofits and governmental agencies and units working with the idea of improving environmental stewardship and the overall health of our environment, and it sits at the top of many priority lists. What kind of partnerships and collaborations is it going to take to keep that at the fore and moving forward progressively?
To see environmental issues kind of targeted in the current federal administration really sets the stage for some backsliding on very significant issues of our time, and I will name climate change in particular. So the reinvestment in fossil fuel-based fuel sources, energy sources, is one example I'll lift up is incredibly problematic. And the counterpoint is that there's been a growing movement and acknowledgement of climate change, its impacts, and the solutions. And there's a lot of momentum outside of the federal government that will continue despite changes and rollbacks. The collaborations and partnerships in the water space for the Huron River Watershed Council, water has always been a bipartisan issue, a nonpartisan issue, and I do feel like there's a lot of potential to continue acting on behalf of our environment and our water in particular at different levels of government. So at the state level, and the Huron River Watershed Council works a lot with our local government officials. There's actions that they can take that are also protective of our surface and groundwaters. So these are the types of strategies that we'll be leaning into over the next 4 years in the absence of federal leadership in this space.
Well, you may have just answered part of my final question during our time together today, but I'm going to ask anyway. On February 18th, you posted a blog on the Huron River Watershed Council website at hrwc.org. It's titled Holding the Line in a Hostile Environment. In it, you express a number of professional concerns, some of which we've touched on today, but the writing and the message presents as something deeply personal. In it, you keep coming back to the word hope. So where are your hopes for the rest of this year and, as you note, at least the next 4 years?
If I look close to home, I can see a lot of hope. You know, when we start making relationships personal, understanding that we're all human beings walking this planet, often with shared values, shared concerns, shared issues, we can really humanize each other in a way that the political discourse these days does not. And I feel that when I look close to home to watershed residents, no matter what their voting record, no matter what their socioeconomic class, no matter what community in the watershed they live in, we find common ground. And that has not gone away. I just think it's going to be more important for us to humanize these conversations, take them out of the political sphere, and get real about what's important for our quality of life, our well-being, the future of our children, et cetera.
Well, thank you for the time and the conversation today, Rebecca. I appreciate it.
Thank you, David. It was nice talking with you.
That is Rebecca Esselman, Executive Director of the Huron River Watershed Council, and our guest on issues of the environment. For more information on today's topic and conversation, and for a direct link to Rebecca's blog post, stop by our website at WEMU.org, and we'll make sure you get everywhere you want to go. Issues of the Environment is produced with support from the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner, and you hear it every Wednesday. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM Ypsilanti, celebrating 60 years of broadcasting from the campus of Eastern Michigan University.